You're listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to space for everyday women to go from surviving to thriving by pursuing a purpose that's truly rooted in faith. And now, we're also becoming the premier space for Christian coaches and therapists to finally learn how to integrate faith into their practice without being churchy or limiting their audience. Each week, we'll merge biblical wisdom with practical everyday application so that you can be empowered to excel in every facet of your life and business. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hey, and welcome to this week's episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. We are back and talking about three strategies to maintain our spiritual heart health. Now, if you did not listen to last week's session, you need to, because it is the beginning of this week's session. Y'all know that we are in the middle of our Bible study blitz brought to you by the Society, where we are giving me some room to come up for air and also getting our life gathered from these lessons that I've been teaching within the Society, having the opportunity to share them with you here. Now, if you want to catch these lessons live, you join the Society. Okay. Okay. I do this every 2 weeks. We have Bible study and a time. Okay. I've even had to edit out the Q&A sessions because those go for a minute. And the Bible studies always give what they're supposed to. God always pulls up. So I pray that you've been blessed even by the overflow that we've been able to share here in the on the podcast, rather, from the Society. But just know, baby, we ain't even scratched the surface. There's 4 years worth of these in the Society. Amen? Amen. Now, if you have not yet downloaded the app, if you missed the fast, get connected with us. We have challenges every quarter. Make sure that you are plugged in and you come and get what you need. We have tons of resources, tons of fellowship, and a lot of growth happening over in the Society. Now, this week, we are talking about three strategies that you need to maintain your spiritual heart health. So grab your notebooks and gather your edges, sis. Okay, we're going to get right into it. Here is part two of spiritual heart health for the believer. Three strategies to maintain your spiritual heart health. So I want to give you really quick three ways for you to keep your heart health. The first thing I need you to understand is that proper heart health requires for you to have a heart healthy diet. And we talked about this a little bit. What are you meditating on? What are you listening to? Who are you speaking to? What you meditate on will move you. Y'all know how we used to say you are what you eat? Okay, that applies to your spiritual life. You are what you eat. So if you're at a church where you're not getting fed well, come on, somebody. It's bad enough you not even in your word Monday through Saturday. Jesus said, it's the bread of life. We don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of, come on now. So you're not even eating Monday through Sunday or Saturday. You go somewhere Sunday to eat and it's not even properly cooked food. The food is mishandled. The meal is mishandled. The word is mishandled. And you don't even know the food not good for you. And so now the only time you do eat, it's not even good for you. It's not even good substance for your soul. And you might do a little 5-minute YouVersion devotional here or there. Those are supplements, sis. That's not a meal. You would never do your physical body like that. You are what you eat. If you are consistently robbing yourself of proper spiritual nutrition, your heart is going to reflect that.
We've gotten way too comfortable to go to church, to get that meal that we hope was prepared by clean hands. We hope it was prepared by clean hands. You're not even going back after church and studying so you can show that what you learned was approved by God. We're just eating anything. We more picky about the mac and cheese that somebody make at Thanksgiving than we are the spiritual food that somebody is giving to feed our souls. So you have to have a heart healthy diet. You need to look at the nutritional facts of where you eat at. Your church, what books you read, the devotional. Some of these devotionals have nothing to do with you being grown by God, being sanctified by God, and everything to do with you glorifying your flesh. Yes, we are encouraged by the word. We should also be convicted. If you are sitting somewhere and ain't even a taint of conviction, because the Bible is sharper than a two-edged sword. So if you're not even getting a paper cut, friend, I'm afraid that you may not be eating where the food is being properly cooked. Because anytime you sit under the word, when it's rightly divided, it's going to read you a little bit. As I'm speaking to y'all, please know that I am being read a little bit on the inside and I studied the lesson. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. If you are leaving and you only feel a little, something's off. Come on. The next thing that you need to know is that proper heart health requires heart conditioning. Listen to me. Conditioning means like exercise, meaning that you're going to have to use that faith muscle. If you go to the gym, you know that in order for you to build up your stamina, in order for you to build your strength, you have to learn how to go longer, and to build your strength, you have to put more weights on the bar. At some point, if you're just doing 10-pound weights, lifting and doing curls, okay, at some point, that's no longer beneficial to your muscles. There's not going to be any growth because you have to have resistance in order to have growth. In order for you to build stamina, you have to start running longer. Conditioning. Look at John 16:33. Jesus said this, "I told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Not it might happen. Not it only happens. If you are sinning against me, the Bible says that it rains on the just and the unjust. It's going to happen. Trials and sorrows, it's going to happen. But take what? Heart. That's crazy. How are you going to take heart that you don't have? We have to condition our hearts. Because I, meaning Jesus, have overcome the world. So many of us faint because when we face trial and tribulation, we try to duck. When trial and tribulation come, we're trying to duck and dodge. And we're wanting to avoid the spiritual conditioning and strength training. When trial and tribulation come our way, we want to rebel, we want to run away, and we're so busy rebuking the devil that we don't even see the lessons that God may be trying to give us, to equip us for the next part of our lives. Muscles do not grow without proper condition and resistance training. They don't. And if you go too long without using your muscles, they will atrophy, meaning they get smaller. They wither away. You either use it or you lose it. But as believers, if we fail to allow God to condition our heart and to perfect the things that he needs to perfect concerning us, we will always find ourselves fainting and flailing when God calls us to fight. Y'all saw in the scripture that Jesus said to take heart. He's already overcome the world. To take heart simply means to have courage. And this word courage, when you look at it in the Greek, is unflinching. God bolstering confidence that we should have as believers. This is when we have the courage to take the necessary risks because we've been strengthened or conditioned. Our heart has been strengthened or conditioned enough to live boldly in God's victory, overcoming our very real, okay, very real, but also very irrational fears. You can overcome those real but irrational fears when you allow God to condition your heart, when you don't see the trial and the tribulation as punishment, but you see it as preparation. Jesus was led into the wilderness by who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, sis. Yeah, he was tempted by the devil there, but Holy Spirit led him there to fast for 40 days and 40 nights and to be tempted. So, and then, and only then after that, did he go out and do ministry. Poor heart conditioning is why we shrink back and we stray away from God, his will, and his plan. I dare you the next time you're going through something to ask God to reveal to you, God, what do I need to learn in this season? What do I need to know in this season? Even the things and the situations that come up because you may have made a misstep and a bad decision, God will still, he will still use it to condition you. How do I know? Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord. All things work together. All things work together. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to have a good heart posture. David killed his baby mama husband. I'm going to repeat that again. David killed his baby mama husband. The man who's after God's own heart, he killed his baby mama's husband. And it's still in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the son of David. Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus came from the lineage of David. Because David allowed even the circumstance that he created. He allowed God to be God. He prayed for that baby as a result of the sin. God told David, like, you sinned against me, that baby that Bathsheba pregnant with, gonna die. This is gonna happen in your kingdom. Your sons and your daughters gonna be cutting up. And David, he fasted, he mourned. And then when they said the baby died, he got up and he praised God. God forgave him. David still had to deal with the consequence of his actions. However, God was with him in the consequence. However, God didn't remove his spirit from him. God was with him. And although the circumstance was unfavorable, I'm sure it was painful. David allowed God to condition him and to condition his heart, even in that. So even if it's something that you might have exacerbated, that you might have brought on, now I want us to get out of the habit of making our own little testimonies, okay? Life has enough trouble of its own. However, please know that God will and can use anything if you allow him to. Don't be so busy, woe is me. Don't be so busy, bogged down with the emotion of it all, that you fail to seek God and ask him, God, what lesson am I supposed to learn in this test? Because I'm not trying to take this class again. What lesson do I need to learn? What are you showing me right now? What do I need to change about my heart? What am I not doing that isn't pleasing to you? And God, is it that I just need to learn how to abide even in situations like this? Because all things don't happen because of sin. Go look at John 9:3. The disciples asked Jesus about the blind man. Why is he blind? Is it his sins or the sins of his father? Jesus said neither, simply so that the father can be glorified. Some of these things are happening just so God can get the glory. So you got to be tapped in. You have to ask the right questions. And we can't be so busy being emotional wrecks that we don't get what we need to in that season, that we miss the revelation that God will give us, that we miss seeing God even in the storm because we don't want to have our hearts conditioned. And then the last thing that is required for spiritual heart health, you have to have frequent checkups from the great physician. Hear me. If you have a transplant in your natural body, there's a team of physicians, your primary care doctor, the transplant team, depending on what organ it is, or what organ system. If you get a new heart, guess what? You see in the cardiologist too, friend. The nutritionist is there to make sure that you're getting proper nutrition. Physical therapy, because after the surgery, you're going to need help learning how to walk and get up and do the things again. And you're going to have to recondition that new heart that they put in your body. Occupational therapy, so you can learn how to feed yourself over again. Like there's a team of people. We have to check in frequently with the great physician. James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your heart. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Just like the transplant patient, we have to make sure we are checking in with our physician who keeps tabs on our health, provides education and correction when needed. If you are cutting up as your healthcare provider, you come see me. My teenagers already know. They come and see me. Baby, you're 14. I don't want to hear nothing about your mama didn't give you your asthma inhaler. You were 14 and you can scroll on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I love you. Use your medication appropriately. The same way that I educate and give correction as needed, the same way sometimes we have to switch the prescription because it may not be as effective as we thought. The same way that I can do that in my job as a clinician, God does that and he does it even better. He gives us the prescription that we need to continue our journey. So proper heart health is going to require you making it a daily habit to check in with God and not simply to ask things for ourselves. It's okay to ask God for the things that you want. He's a good God. He's a good father. He loves giving us gifts. He don't care about us having stuff, but the problem is stuff be having you. And that's the issue. When we have these check-ins, don't just ask him for the things that you want, but seek him and ask him for wisdom about your heart posture. Make sure that you are repenting daily, meaning to turn away from. Repent doesn't just mean to say, my bad, God. No. Repentance is God, forgive me. But the word literally means in the Hebrew, in the Greek, to turn away. And before you can stop a habit, your heart has to turn away from it. Your appetite is going to have to change. The same way that a transplant patient in the hospital, they can't eat the same salty, greasy foods. Their appetite has to change. Our appetites have to change. We have to repent daily. And our refusal to check in allows us the ability, it allows time for those plaques to build up. It allows room for us to become insensitive to the Holy Spirit. And then over time, our hearts become more and more hardened to the things of God. We are desensitized, and these blockages eventually will end up leading to you feeling disconnected or that spiritual death that we talked about. So I want to recap. Your heart is the center of who you are. Okay? It is your capacity to be able to exercise moral preference. And to love God, and to love simply means that you choose his choices. You pick his preferences. And so our heart is what gives us the inclination to do that. We are all born with a wicked heart. That is our congenital heart defect. Our heart health matters, because without it, the organ, the heart transplantation that we get when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we run the risk of rejecting the transplant. Do not allow pride, painful experiences, and selfish passion to seep in the subtle ways to where now you have plaque building up in your heart. And the way that you are able to maintain a heart-healthy lifestyle, it's going to require a heart-healthy diet, it's going to require heart conditioning, and it's going to require frequent checkups with the great physician. So here are some questions that I want you to meditate on. How would I describe the current condition of my heart in spiritual terms? Is it open? Is it receptive? Is it hardened or something else? Go look at the parable of the sower, where the different soils. In what areas of my life do I find my desires and passions aligning or conflicting with what I understand to be God's will? And when you are doing this evaluation, go to the Word. Remember that we stand on principle. So just because it doesn't have a certain thing in there doesn't mean it's not a problem. If you can look at your life and see that you've turned those blessings, those little children of yours, them babies whom we love, that you've turned them into the idol of your life, that every move that you make is based on them and not on the Word of God and not on the God who gave them to you, who entrusted them to you, they have become idols, and that is wrong. So you can love your kids without making them idols. So principle, I'm going to ask Holy Spirit, come on, wisdom, and all you're getting, get an understanding. Principle, how much do I trust God with the details of my life? Are there areas where I struggle to surrender control? If yes, girl, surrender them to him. God, help my unbelief. The scripture that father asked Jesus for a miracle, he said, help my unbelief. We can be transparent with God, because the things we try to hide, that's an opportunity for the enemy to come in and allow that hardening of your heart to happen. And then finally, when I read the Bible, how do its teachings resonate with my heart? Are the teachings difficult to accept or practice? And I'll even take it a step further. Jackie Hill Perry said this. She said that the problem is that a lot of us read the Bible to learn how to love ourselves more and not how to learn how to love God more, meaning to pick his preferences. So I would challenge you, when you read your Bible, Are you reading your Bible to learn more about like self-help, how you can be and do the things? Or are you learning and reading the principles and the precepts of the God that you say that you love and serve? So I pray that this lesson was helpful to you. I pray that you really take the time to establish your spiritual heart health, that this blessed you, and that you are able to establish a lifestyle that really allows you to experience everything that Jesus died for you to have. I love you. God bless you. And I'll talk to you next time. All right, sis, that's been another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. Remember to share this episode. Tag me in the notes, child. If you're getting gathered, tag me online, download the app, make sure that you rate the podcast. Okay, we strive for 5 stars, that is, and leave us a review. It really helps us grow the reach of the show. I love you, girl. God bless you. And I will talk to you next week.
You know those cravings that hit you out of nowhere? Charred steak tacos, silky mushroom risotto, or a perfect summer salad. When the craving hits, CookUnity delivers, made with real ingredients and no shortcuts. CookUnity was made for adventurous eaters, with 160-plus award-winning chefs curating an ever-expanding menu of small-batch meals. Get ready-to-eat meals delivered directly to your door, all tailored to your lifestyle, dietary needs, and cravings. Their roster of Food Network alums, James Beard Award winners, and acclaimed restaurateurs balance bold flavors and nutrition in their handcrafted meals, which are freshly prepared, delivered to your door, and never frozen. Get what you're craving. Try the freshest, best-tasting meal delivery made by your favorite celebrity chefs. Go to cookunity.com/crave or enter code CRAVE before checkout for free premium meals for life. That's free premium meals for life at cookunity.com/crave.